It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
All right, what's up? What's happening from Northwest Stadium? To quote Logan Paulson on the radio broadcast. That was the craziest thing that we'll ever see in our football lives.
Feels like it might be. I mean, I was just trying to think if I've ever seen a play like that happen in person. I don't think I ever have. Obviously, you see the big ones on TV, the college level. You know, every time Aaron Rodgers in a Hail Mary for whatever reason. But, yeah, especially kind of how the game had gone, especially in the second half, to have it conclude in that way and kind of fall in favor of the Commanders. I mean, it just was unbelievable. Is that a good word?
No,
there?
No,
good
descriptor? It's totally he ran around for 13 seconds and threw the ball 64 yards in the air. Of course it's unbelievable.
And the composure in the moment, like, you know, the whole time on the broadcast, Fletch is like, throw the ball. But he kind of was able to buy time, find his moment, get in a good base and deliver that football the way. And every time, like, he just has this tremendous composure about him. And even in this big moment, which seems impossible, like, he's composed. And it just added to the moment of just kind of the unbelievability of it, if that's even a word.
I think it is, for one. Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to try it.
Yeah, let's like a thesaurus?
Thesaurus.
Thesaurus. There we go. Yeah, like a dinosaur.
Yeah. It's exactly what I was going to say, which I don't know what that says about either of our brain states at the moment, other than chaos.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was incredible. I mean, we were joking in the press box, as you know, it gets pretty snarky up there, and things are going sideways in the second half. And
just a bunch of writers being snarky with each other.
Yeah, and radio hosts. Don't put us down like that. And writer turned radio host Michael Phillips looks at me after Chicago scores, and he goes, "You just got Northwest Stadium," and so that happens, and I punch him in the shoulder and I go, "You just got Northwest Stadium." I mean, I was also joking with Michael. I was like, the real ending that this game deserved was a pick six on the 2-point conversion for Chicago.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Washington's defense played outstanding in this game. Their offense obviously didn't finish in the first half. And by the way, we're not going to do a lot of analysis here. Like, that was incredible. We can analyze on Tuesday once we've watched the tape, but generally speaking, like, offense needed to convert in the red zone in the first half. They fall apart / Chicago makes changes. We'll figure it out once we watch the tape. Things change in the second half, and the defense just kept showing up. And they just, like, how many times can you ask them to show up? And then finally they give way at the end. And 24 seconds left, and we were wondering, like, should Dan have called a timeout sooner, trying to buy a little bit more time? And then Jaden just makes it right in the end.
No, 100%. Again, like, the way the game had gone, like, you're kind of like, man, they should be, like, well up in this game. It shouldn't even be close. And then, like you mentioned, there's the defense is playing so well. I do not understand what Chicago's doing from a play call standpoint. Every play they're asking him to check and call the protection, just seemed like there's so much on his plate. And they're coming out of a bye. You feel like they would have been able to kind of have a really streamlined.
Swift has the 57-yarder, then they come back and throw the ball three straight times.
Yeah, I don't. Again, no, this is not a Chicago Bears podcast, but that was...
Oh, I can imagine what that podcast sounds like now.
That's really
interesting. Take the North is I was on that show. We did the crossover.
That's right.
Dan, I'm sorry, buddy. You're having a very different show right now.
Very different show. Tana on the post game was like, you know, what do you think they're thinking about? And I was like, I don't really care, honestly. Chicago, crazy play calls, but the defense did a great job. Bobby Wagner showed up. Frankie Louvu, the emotional energizer buddy. Jerzon Newton with the fumble recovery on the goal
line.
What you're handing it again? Like, what are you doing? You're handing it to
on a refrigerator Perry in a game where we need a touchdown on the 1 yard line.
And you hand it to the fullback, who's really an offensive lineman who obviously doesn't handle the ball a ton. And again, you just kind of outsmart yourself. But I think Cliff did a great job in this game. It was really interesting watching the juxtaposition of the two offenses, the simplicity, kind of the smoothness for the majority of the game, definitely for three quarters of the Commanders offense, compared to just how hard it felt for Chicago. And again, Washington's defense deserves a ton of credit for that, but also it just shows you how the ecosystem, the environment, the play caller can help maximize the young quarterback.
And then it comes down to the play at the end. Great analysis, Logan.
No,
excellent job.
I was just thinking through my
It's an instant reaction show. Whatever comes out, and we hope it doesn't get us fired.
Thesaurus.
You're on the field because that is your job. You're the sideline guy on the radio broadcast. And by the way, shout out to your colleague Bram Weinstein. Awesome job, Bram, on the call. Fantastic.
He's been doing a great job. Yeah.
Right before we got on here. So definitely worth finding if you haven't. Nance, by the way, nailed the TV call as well as you would imagine. But you're on the field for that. Like, what's your vantage point for the chaos?
So yeah, I think the thing, you're going through it and you're kind of like, you're working, what was it, 19 seconds left. They have the incomplete pass or whatever it is, and they have the completion, and they have the completion out of bounds. And you're like, man, I've done this drill in practice, you know, 500, 1,000 times, and it never works out. There's always some type of hiccup. You miss the first completion. You miss the out. Then you throw the Hail Mary, and that never even works even in practice. And right. So it felt very familiar. It felt very formulaic. I could hear Fletch was kind of feeling the same way and how he was describing the sequence of plays. Bram, obviously very similar. There's like the stadium's kind of dead. It's kind of quiet. And all of a sudden he scrambles around. You're kind of like, oh no, like, because normally on big plays, you got to kind of extend, get out of the pocket. But then he starts going back the other way. I'm like, he's going to get sacked. He kind of navigates a little bit of traffic. He doesn't get sacked. Gets to a good base. He looks down the field and he just delivers a beautiful football. And then you're like, okay, now they're going to knock it down.
You know what they said? It's the best deep ball throw in the draft.
Yeah, best deep ball. That's exactly why for this moment.
Yes.
And you're looking down there, and I can't tell you how many times it's been like, there needs to be a guy in front of the jump, needs to be a guy behind the jump. And you're kind of looking up, and then the ball gets tipped. And I remember right in that moment, I was like, I hope there's someone standing right behind it. And where I was standing, it was completely blocked. Noah Brown was there. Then the pile falls down just right ahead of the ball, and Noah Brown is standing right there. And I just was like, obviously you heard the call. I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
But then the entire stadium erupts. And when you're on the field, I don't know if you've had this experience before, but the temperature seems to go up.
Yes.
Like the ambient temperature seems to go up. And then...
Well, you just had 80 or whatever, 65, 70, however many people are now in the stadium.
Just screaming.
Yell, yeah! All that air directed at you.
And then the other crazy thing is, I'd seen, Adam Peters on the sideline, and he's so competitive. He's so locked in. He's checking his watch. He's looking at, kind of how much time's left. He's like thinking about the situation. The ball's caught. He is in a full suit, and he is sprinting as fast as he can down to celebrate with the guys. And it's just every single person on this staff that they brought in, Josh Harris, they're hugging like he lifted Josh Harris. Like, they all want to win football games.
Yeah.
They're all motivated to do it. And it just, the players, the moment, everything, it was just unbelievable. And it's just great that in a game that they should have been up handedly,
right,
it ended that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great too, because it's also a reminder, like, Adam has, and specifically Adam, but the people around him as well, they are so competitive.
Yeah.
But they've also exercised such great patience, which doesn't sound as relevant as it used to, because now they're 6-2 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, but now it, like, actually in some ways becomes more relevant.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, well, if you're going to stick whatever plan you have, like, does your trade deadline plan change? All that kind of stuff based off where you are, where the division is, all these things. But it, just because they're willing to build it right over time doesn't mean that they're not competitive. And you see that with Adam, especially. You see that with Dan. Like, you see that with all these guys. They just realize that the win worth getting in the end is the one where you lift the Lombardi at the end.
Yeah.
And that takes some patience over time. But again, that's a different show for a different day. It's interesting you say the diamond part. I don't know whether you heard any of the post-game comments on that. They all, to a man, talked about that exact thing. Yeah, Terry specifically, I was around him for a good while in the locker room. And I kind of joked with him too. I was like, wouldn't you want to be where Noah was? Like, I'd be fighting for that one. If I was Terry, I want to be the back tip guy.
Yeah.
But Terry was the guy in the front. And you have guy basically front right, front left, tip guy. By the way, it's also worth shouting out, Austin Eckler on that play is the fifth eligible. He's in the backfield blocking, and he helps get Jaden that first little bit to roll out right and continues to fight. So shout out to Austin Eckler, the 5'8" running back on the field for the Hail Mary, playing extra offensive lineman. But then Noah's the back guy. And do you know who tipped the ball, by the way?
The DB.
Was not just any DB. It was Tyreek Stevens.
Who was like mocking the crowd.
He was talking smack all day long,
even though
Terry was burning him every chance he got. And for the first 5 seconds of the play, Tyreek Stevenson is talking smack to the fans, not even paying attention to the play. And then he kind of roams in, goes up with a hand, gets the fingertips on it, perfectly lofts it up. And probably my favorite part of the play is Noah Brown just nonchalantly going, yep, I got it. Right there, just right in the bed basket. Did not have to move.
Yeah.
And so when you Allegretti joked, just how you draw it up. But like, in some ways it kind of was.
It is funny because that is how you draw it up. I know that's like, but you throw it understanding that it's very unlikely to get. The reason you have the diamond is because you're expecting it to get tipped.
Right.
Like that's exactly
it's
the
defense
reason.
Against bat it down.
Yes.
Is and we've actually seen that quite a few times in the last couple of years in the NFL is the ball gets batted down to one of the front guys and then he gets tackled at the 1 yard line. That guy never makes it in.
Right.
But if you tip it backwards, well, then you don't have to go anywhere.
Like anytime you tip it up, it's just bad news. I mean, this is again for your high school football coaches out there. Anytime that ball goes up in that situation, it's bad news for the defense. And so
this is why I'm actually a proponent of catching it.
So that's the thing is like, so I've been in the scrum a couple times and you're jumping up to get the ball and you're so mashed in there with the offensive and defensive personalities, personnel that you can't get both hands. Very rarely can you get both hands up. So if you have the opportunity, just spike it down.
I'm taking my best jump ball wide receiver.
Like Roma Dunze should have been out there.
Especially with his competitiveness. Yeah. Like I'm telling him, you stand off to the side of the pile. That ball is going to be in the air for 4 seconds. You run, jump, and time it, jump it, or you punch it with a closed hand as far as you can out of bounds sideways.
Like soccer goalie style.
Yeah, just like parry that thing.
Yeah.
But to do what Tyreek Stevenson did, I mean, he did try to like swat it, but he got it off his fingertips.
That's what I'm saying. The pile was so crazy. Yeah. You see it, like he can't even bend his arm. Because Zach's in there, everyone's pushing on him, and ball just gets popped up.
Zach was tip guy, by the way.
Yeah, tip guy.
That's his job.
That's a good spot. Dude, Zach had a very nice game today,
too. He did. Some really other fun stories from the locker room. Something that I'll probably never forget from this is David Aldridge. I mean, David Aldridge is like a legend of our industry. Dude's in the Hall of Fame as a basketball writer, and we're lucky enough to have him in D.C. And so, first of all, David and I are just walking down the hallway laughing, like, hysterically. I literally was like, David, you want to come on the show tomorrow and just laugh for 20 minutes? And like, so then we get down there into the locker room and it's me, him, Allegretti, Biotish, Cosby winds up coming over. They haven't seen the play yet. Mm. And David pulls out on his phone. And so we're watching the playback and I was like, hey, Nick, you got a pretty good shot in, huh? And he's like, yeah. And then that dude's helmet landed right on my quad. So Allegretti might not practice Wednesday. He's got a Charlie horse from the helmet in his quad. But if you go back and watch the play, watch Nick Allegretti. Just absolutely cleans a dude's clock buying time for Jaden. You know, and Cosby's, he learned at that point that Tyreek Stevenson was the one that tipped it. He thought that was quite so entertaining.
They exchanged some words, right?
They did. Cosby got 15 yards out of it in a positive way. Love that. It was cool to kind of talk to. I mean, Terry's just like laughing because he's like, I've never been a part of that. Quinn, same thing, never been a part of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I asked Quinn in the press conference too. I'm like, lost in the hoopla of the ending is the fact that when at least he walked into the stadium today, it was done by the time I walked in. But when a lot of people walked in the stadium today, it wasn't 100% sure that Jaden Daniels was going to play. And the fact that it ends like this, we should not forget what he went through to get into that moment to play and the toughness he showed, the process they followed. I mean, talk about having competent individuals all across the building, the medical staff that helped get him ready, that put in the return to play protocol, cleared him every step of the way. And then I also asked Dan, end of the first half, you had an opportunity for Hail Mary. Why didn't you do it then? And then, you know, obviously you didn't really have a choice at the end. He's like, yeah, well, and he said, I just didn't want to expose him to a big hit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, I didn't want to expose him to that. And so, you know, we went through the process and the drill, but we got to that point where it was Hail Mary or bust. And we just kind of decided it wasn't worth it. And then he goes, maybe next time I should reconsider.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Jaden Daniels performance today is something that is like, was just incredibly impressive. Like, was it the sharpest performance of all time? Probably not. You know, I think he had a couple of passes that he missed that he usually makes, but just his composure, his ability to go through his reads, the ability to scramble still while a little nicked up was incredible. And just
extended so many drives,
extending plays. I do think not being able to run him, you know, in terms of zone read, the GT stuff we've seen, I probably hurt the rushing attack a little bit today, which made them a little bit less effective on first down, specifically in the second half. But man, like, he is such a competitive son of a gun. He's such a fun player to watch. He's so composed. Like, there was a sequence where it was a 2nd and 8. Luke McCaffrey's running a choice. He breaks out. He's like clapping his hands. He's like, hey man, let's break that in. Like, it's this cover. And he was just the awareness. He understood the coverage, his communication to Luke. And then again, the deep ball to Terry going on the quick in that. I don't know if that's how they call it, but going on the quick to get that shot down the field. Just a lot of really cool.
But also, like, that's a competitiveness moment from Jaden too, and from Cliff, because on the play, I don't remember exactly what happened, but something happened between Terry and Stevenson on the play before.
Oh, interesting.
And then Oh, no. You want to know what it was? It was the drop that Terry had. Terry ran a great route.
Yeah, that's right.
Jaden throws this incredible ball in cover two in the honey hole, and it's got to be high to get over the linebacker. And he drops it enough that it goes right through Terry's hands. Now, Terry's got to jump and get it. It's a tough catch, but like Terry McLaurin is paid to make that catch, and Terry will be the first one to tell you.
Yeah.
And Jaden goes right back to him and just hits him on a you know, what was that, a 61-yard or something like that?
Yeah, the long of the day was that completion. And again, great job by Terry. And it was really interesting watching Terry. Like, this is my first year on the sideline, but seeing how competitive he is, like how he's communicating to Cliff, how he's communicating to Jaden. He comes off the sideline. I remember there was a sequence where he ran a comeback, and Tyreek Stevenson he just underplayed it the whole time. And so Terry was like, vertical, vertical, vertical. And so Cliff comes back, they run a couple of vertical routes, and it doesn't hit, but then they're able to set up a comeback later in the game. And so it just, the competitive edge that Terry had in this game was cool to see. The emotion that he played with was cool to see. Jaden's kind of consistency in terms of how he managed the game, there's a maturity there that is hard to overstate how valuable that is, that leadership element. So pretty cool from Jaden, very cool from Terry. Get another solid performance from the offensive line, just the offense in general. I think the one blemish on today is the lack of red zone efficiency, just looking back on it. But
which has been their bugaboo when they haven't scored 40, which is a nice sentence to be able to say. I pulled out the phone just to be able to check a couple stats. And obviously some of these are the Jaden passing stats. You get to add 52 at the end. But he finishes 21 of 38 for 326 and a touchdown. What was that? That was the Hail Mary that he hit. Brian Robinson, 16 for 65. That's going to be interesting to me to watch on tape, because he started on fire in this game, and then really the rushing production slowed. I wonder how much of that was Cornelius Lucas's injury. That is something obviously we need to watch. Coleman with a concussion. Lucas goes out in this game, and the O-line wasn't quite as good after that as you would expect, because they lost some of their best players. Daniels, 8 for 52 on the ground. Mm-hmm. So talk about the importance there. Terry, 5 catches on 8 targets, 125 yards, long of 61. Ertz, 7 for 77.
Dude, Ertz had a great game.
Yeah, so they get your boy John Bates that 20-yard.
Yeah, that was great. Nice physical run by John.
I feel like we should finish, because this was the, even though the offense becomes a story in the end with the Hail Mary, the defense played so well for so long. I mean, until the last two drives. Caleb Williams, you actually know the number? You know how many passing yards he had going in the last two drives?
I want to say it was like 34,
36.
34, yeah, okay.
36. That is 3.5 quarters of an NFL game. Caleb Williams had 36 yards passing. What stood out to you about this defense? And obviously we'll break it down in detail on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think just obviously from the sideline, the ability to create pressure, the ability to kind of disrupt him, the ability to play sticky coverage on the outside. Like, I know St. Juice has the PI at the end of the game, but he was more physical than I've seen him play on the edge. Mike Sandersill's instincts in terms of coverage, the way they disguise their pre-snap reads, especially with all of the kind of quarterback gymnastics they're trying to do, just made it really hard on Caleb. And I think they just deserve a ton of credit. They came with a great plan. They executed it. They played at a super high level. I think the one blemish is the long touchdown run to Swift.
Yeah, which, by the way, was I will say it for all the fans that are about to get angry in the chat. Two horrendous missed calls on that.
Yeah, but also
blocking the back, and Sanders still, like, at the point of attack, Sanders still was held.
Yeah, I remember, but I also think, like, still, even though those should be penalties, like, finish of the football, right? You know what I'm saying? Let's hustle and finish the football, and 100%. Maybe that doesn't happen. But
if it's 30 instead of 57, it's different ballgame.
100%. So, but I think on the whole, outside of that one play and maybe the hold on St. Juice, I think you're looking at a very, very solid, competitive, consistent performance of guys playing the way that Dan Quinn has preached since he arrived. And I think that's been really cool. I think Joe Witt Jr. is starting to teach the defense better. They're starting to learn it better, and they're getting to put more stuff in. And just having Bobby in there, like, for them to get in that 4-by-1, I'm talking about Chicago, shift, they go from their empty check, they're expecting them to stay in empty. Bobby makes another check to kind of supplement their check, and having that guy in the middle of the defense who knows it and can communicate it so well is going to make this group dangerous for sure.
Can I finish by being petty?
Yeah, be petty.
Bears fans.
Oh, you're going to be petty to Bears fans.
You were miserable all week to deal with. I've been doing this for over 10 years in total. I have been covering this particular franchise for 8+. I realized during most of that time, this has been a sad sack franchise that probably hasn't had a lot of other fan bases.
Is this on the radio show? Is on the radio show?
This is in the YouTube comments. This is on Twitter. This is on TikTok. This is on YouTube. Nice. This is everywhere. Y'all were loud as hell this week. You were miserable. Enjoy being miserable the rest of the week, because you lost on a Hail Mary. Goodbye. That's our show.
It's pretty petty.
See ya.